Welcome to Investing in Volatile Times. For the next few minutes, author and financial commentator Debbie Owens will tell you how to build wealth through the financial markets in spite of the ups and downs of Wall Street. It's a seminar Debbie has delivered across the country to brokers, personal investors, and people like you, concerned about the markets but determined to keep their money working. As the author of Confident Investing and a former vice president with Fidelity Investments, Debbie uses her more than 20 years of investment experience to help people cope with the anxiety of investing in volatile times. Debbie, we've heard all about the recent corporate scandals, seen our investments nosedive, and yet you're telling us to stay the course. Why should we believe things are going to get better?
Terry, people ask me about the market all the time, whether or not I think it'll continue to go down or whether they should invest. My response is always, you need to be clear on three things: what your goal is for the money, how much time you have, and how much risk you're prepared to take. As someone who's been involved in the stock as a stockbroker for many years, I'd like to begin with a story of when I started more than 20 years ago. Like many of my other colleagues, began to invest money of my clients, who were my family and friends. At that time, I was investing in stocks of semiconductor companies. It was the PC age. Many of those stocks were selling at 100 times earnings and going up very rapidly. Well, as I invested that money, in a few short months, I saw those stock values go down more than 30 or 40%. Does that sound familiar? And yet, here it is 20 years later, many of those companies like LSI Logic, Seagate Technology, are leaders in their fields. And had I held on to those stocks, I would have been a wealthy woman. So what was the lesson? If I'm going to invest in stocks, it's not for the short term, it's for the long term.
So what you're saying then is that we simply need to better understand how the market works. That's tough when you look at those 401k statements, which have been losing thousands of dollars here recently.
Well, Terry, it's really time for a reality check. Prior to 3 years ago, stocks in the previous 10 years have been returning over 20% a year. Well, that's not reality. Stocks on average return about 11% a year. So what we're seeing right now is stocks really coming back to the mean. To an average, if you will. I know it's difficult for some people looking at their 401k statements and continuing to see the value of their investments go down. However, expectations need to be realistic. This is what I call a teachable moment. People need to begin to understand what the historical performance of different investments are so that they can make more knowledgeable decisions.
So then as we move forward, what should investors expect?
Well, if we look at how stocks and bonds and cash have performed over a long period of time, and I think a period of 75 years would be a long period of times, one of the things that we come to understand is that cash, or money that's invested in things like a savings account, has averaged about 3% a year. Investing in government bonds have averaged about 5% a year over a 75-year period, and investing in large company stocks, blue chip stocks like Walmart, Coca-Cola, have averaged about 11% over a 75-year period. That's the average. If we've had 20% a year for 7, 8, 9 years, now we're seeing the market go down, what we're going to see over time is that average out. Do I know when stocks are going to go back up? No, no one knows that. But if you are an investor, and if you truly have a long-term time investment horizon, then you can afford to invest in stocks. If you have a shorter period of time, anything less than 5 years, you need to be looking at bonds or cash for those types of investments.
Well, now, most people would be happy with an 11% return, given what some of the 401k statements have shown recently. I mean, we've seen losses of anywhere from 2 to 20%.
Well, as I said, if investors would look back at how those mutual funds were performing prior to 2000, they will see that some of their investments were doubling in less than 3 years. I know it's difficult for people to stay the course, but if they truly have a long-term horizon, if they are in their 401k or any employer-sponsored retirement plans, if it's their Roth IRA, then they haven't lost anything. What they need to focus on is continuing to be consistent, investing in their funds every month, accumulating more shares, and not so much focused on the share price, because going forward, we will start to see the average return.
Okay, you said you wanted to have a frank discussion, so I've got to ask the tough question here. How do you tell someone to stay in the market when they've watched their portfolio shrink 20, 30%? 40%. It's frightening, especially for people approaching retirement.
Absolutely. And it is hard in these times to tell someone to stay the course. But the main principle of investments or investing is diversification. People should not have all their eggs in one basket. If you're sitting on a retirement account and all of your investments are in stock mutual funds or perhaps your company stock, you have all your eggs in one basket. It's important for people to have their investments in stocks and bonds. Now, looking back at the historical return, yes, stocks have averaged about 11% and bonds have averaged 5%. So you are going to give up some of that average return by putting them in bonds. But on the downside, right now, if you had had some of your 401k or Roth IRA investment in bonds, you would not have seen it go down 20%. Some of your principal would have still been secure. So if we look at another period of time when it was quite similar to now, in the early 70s, when interest rates were very high and the stock market fell about 25% over a 3 to 4 year period, if you had invested in stocks and bonds, 50% in stocks, 50% in bonds at that time, you would have only seen your portfolio go down 10%. People have to remember, you have to diversify, give up some of the upside potential of earning 20% a year in some periods in order to make sure that your principal does not go all down at one time, perhaps 10%, 15% instead of 30%. That's how you're able to stay the course, having different eggs in different baskets.
Most of the people who are investing today are investing through mutual funds. They aren't savvy investors. So how do you know how much should be in bonds, how much should be in stocks, and which stock or bond funds to choose?
Terry, those are excellent questions. Let me take the first one. How do you know how to diversify your portfolio? How much should you have in stocks? How much should you have in bonds? Many financial advisors suggest that you use a rule of thumb or this little formula. Basically, take your age, subtract it from 100, and that's the percent that should be invested in stocks.
Okay, hold on. I'm not the quickest guy here, so let's walk through that formula one more time.
Well, let me give you a specific example. Let's say you're listening to this tape, you're listening to this CD, you're 40 years old. You take 40, subtract it from 100, that leaves how much?
60.
Okay, so that means 60% of your investments should be in stocks or stock mutual funds. As you age, let's say it's now 10 years later, you're 50 years old. You'd subtract that from 100, that would mean 50% in bonds, 50% in stocks. So as you grow older, your amount or percentage of investments in stock or stock mutual funds should decrease because you're going to be nearing the time when you're going to have to access those funds, and the funds that you access should not be invested in the stock market. They should be fairly liquid.
But with people living longer, aren't we going to have to be willing to take a little more risk?
Yes. Yeah, so even at 70, you'll still have 30% of your portfolio invested in stocks. Now, this is a rule of thumb. I mean, it's really to give people some idea of how they should have their investments diversified. However, it really goes back to your individual comfort level, or what we in the business call risk tolerance. If you have a tolerance for risk, meaning you are comfortable seeing your portfolio go up and down, This is the perfect time to determine what your risk tolerance is, because really the only time you can do that is when you see the value of your portfolio going down. That's when you feel it. Understanding that if you give up higher returns once you stop working, you really don't have any other way of keeping up with inflation or keeping up with the cost of living. If you put it in an investment that's fairly safe and secure, it means that you're going to give up having an inflation hedge, if you will. It's a trade-off. It's really up to the individual to determine what they feel most comfortable with. And the way you determine that is, can I sleep at night without worrying about whether or not the stock market's going up or down?
So for those of us who've kind of closed our eyes and picked a mutual fund through our 401k plan at work, how do we know which stock or bond funds to select?
Well, for the novice investor or for the new investor or someone without any experience and who doesn't feel comfortable doing the research themselves, most should be looking at what are called index funds. Index funds are simply mutual funds that invest in the stocks that are in a particular index. For example, one of the largest and most common and most widely used is the S&P 500 index, an index of 500 stocks. An investment company simply takes your money and the money of millions of other investors and invests it in the 500 stocks. Now, you would say that's fairly diversified, right?
Right.
And basically, your investment is going to go up and down with however that S&P 500 index performs. Now, you can also not only have an index in stocks, but you can also have it in bonds. Ideally, if you're investing through your employer, they're going to have an index fund. They're going to have several index funds that will allow you to choose. That way, you're getting diversification. And the other benefit to an index fund is it doesn't have many as high a management fees. It's not paying a professional fund manager. So you're saving in that regard, too. Now, as your assets grow in size, you certainly need to be more diversified. Diversified in the stock realm. There are all different types of stocks. There are large company stocks. There are medium-sized companies. There are small companies. Of course, the smaller the company, the more aggressive. But those different types of stocks perform differently in different economic environments, and that gives you further diversification. Now, I know what you're thinking. My goodness, 10,000 funds. How does an individual determine where they should invest their money? You've got to do your homework. I tell you, the internet provides people with such a wonderful resource of information. I can give you a couple of websites off the top. My personal favorite, NASDAQ.com, www.NASDAQ.com. We know NASDAQ is being an electronic exchange. In fact, they are a wonderful resource of information, not just on NASDAQ stocks, but how to invest your money. In addition to that, Morningstar, www.morningstar.net, actually, they're the company that's the Bible, if you will, of mutual funds, where you can do research and you can go on their site for a fee or not for a fee. Will determine how much specific research you get. And research based on your tolerance for risk, based on the type of fund you want to take, what the best ranked funds are, and you can make a decision that way. Last but not least, all investors, whether or not they're using a financial advisor or not, should be educated about their investments. And one of the minimal investments you can make is by taking out a subscription to Personal Finance Magazine. There's several out there. Kiplinger's Personal Finance, Money Magazine, Smart Money. The wonderful thing about all of those publications is they use real people in their articles. You might see yourself and you may see a specific example that you can apply to yourself, but the key is staying abreast of the market. You can either manage yourself or you can feel confident speaking with an investment advisor about what your needs are, and then you can ask the right questions and feel more comfortable about decisions you make, even in partnership with someone.
And another resource that a lot of people often overlook, I think, is the library.
The library. And all the research information that I've discussed, you can get a Personal Finance Magazine there. You can have access to the Morningstar Mutual Fund Guide at the Business Reference. And also for those people who are investing in individual stocks, there's a great reference to called Value Line that they can have access to at the library. Good point, Terry.
Well, you've certainly put things in perspective in terms of what investors should expect in the way of returns. We've got a strategy for how much we should have in stocks and the need to diversify. But many people are still feeling anxious. Why should we stay the course?
Well, as I said, it's time for a reality check. Now, I can't say that stocks are going to go up tomorrow. Stocks are lower. Their prices are lower, certainly, than they've been in several years. Now's the time to be investing. Stocks are on sale. Is the glass half empty or is it half full? This is really when investors make money, when they stay the course. Earlier, I challenged people to look at their statements from a few years back. One of the things you'll do if you look at how many shares you were purchasing in your 401k mutual fund 3 years ago, you were paying a lot more in terms of the share price, so you were buying less shares with that monthly allotment that you have going into that investment. Now, you're buying a lot more shares, and basically what that means is your dollar cost averaging. Some of you already own shares, so you bought them at a higher price. Now you're buying them at a lower price. Those shares will average out. That's really how you make money as an investor, not necessarily in trying to buy stocks low and then sell them high, but really by accumulating shares. Because over time, I want to give listeners a specific example. If you had purchased Walmart, if you had invested $1,000, you would have purchased 18 shares and paid around $54 a share for them. That's 20 years ago. Here it is, 20 years later, that $1,000 would now be worth almost $56,000, and you would own 1,200 shares. Now, how did you go from 18 shares to 1,200 shares? Well, you reinvested the dividends, and you reinvest, and you also had stock splits. That's how you make money. That's how $1,000 in 20 years turns into $56,000. By focusing on accumulating shares, it's called dollar cost averaging. Another point I'd like to make, great way to have that done automatically, is to invest in either mutual funds that invest in stocks that pay dividends or get into someone's stocks dividend reinvestment program. That way, every quarter, stocks pay dividends, and you can have them automatically reinvest them in shares. And that's how you make money as an investor. Stocks are, I always tell people, it's not how much, it's how long.
So, Debbie, if you wanted to wrap all of this up and share with us some parting thoughts on where we need to be, what would you say?
Well, here are the steps for really maximizing your retirement investment program. People want to first max out their employer-sponsored retirement plan. Now, that's the 401k, the 403b, the 457, you know, those numbers and letters. They need to make sure that they're not only investing their percentage, the percentage that their employer is matching, but the total amount that they can contribute. Once they've fully contributed that maximum amount, then the next step really would be to invest in a Roth IRA. Roth IRAs are great. They are now increased from $2,000 to more than $3,000 that you can contribute this year for the year 2002, really, the tax year. You can contribute those, you contribute that money, you max out on that. The next step then, really, many people are changing jobs. People are concerned in this economy. They're investing through their retirement plan. When they leave that employer, they need to make sure that they roll over that money into what's called a rollover IRA. Once they've figured all of that out, if they still have more money, they're playing retirement catch up. And by the way, if you're older, 50 years or older, you can put even more money into your employer-sponsored plan or Roth IRA. Then you'd start looking at what are called annuities. Basically, annuities are very similar to IRAs. They simply allow you to contribute more. But you want to make sure that you've maxed out on those other plans first. If people continue to stay the course, they will be able to accumulate the amount of savings they will need so that they can live their retirement in dignity and live it in the way that they'd always dreamed of.
Well, thanks, Debbie. This really has been an enlightening few minutes, and I think you've convinced us that people can have success investing in these volatile times. If you'd like to learn more from author and financial commentator Debbie Owens, you can go to her website. That's DeborahOwens.com. Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Owens.com.